A reading from Psalm 103. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children. Welcome to this memorial service in honour of our beloved Murdo Alec McRitchie. We gather together to grieve together and to share our loss and to mourn together. And especially to the family here today, and on behalf of the church and everyone here, we are here with you and express our love and sympathy, and our prayers are for you. But we do also come to honour Murdo Alec's memory, to reflect on a wonderful life that has inspired all of us, and to share together good memories and the difference that he's made in our lives. And I know that Ian, his brother, even said to me that he looks forward to hearing from all of us as we meet together for tea and coffee afterwards, some of our good memories of Murdo Alec and what he meant to us. So please, after the service, do stay so we can share those things together. And we also come to worship God, to thank him for Murdo Alec and his life, and to praise God for all that Murdo Alec has been to us. And we come together for the comfort that our Lord Jesus Christ can give us. And in praise to God, we're going to sing together this afternoon three psalms that were particular favourites of Murdo Alec. And we will sing them unaccompanied, as was his preference. And our first psalm of praise, you'll find in the order of service, is in praise to God, who does not change, but his name endures forever. Please stand, and then we will sing together.
His name forever.
Shall in call.
Please be seated. Let us turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. Our great God and Father, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to worship and adore you, to declare your praises for how great you are, the Holy One, the creator of the heavens and the earth, and to declare your goodness. You are the God of love and grace, the God who is rich in mercy and compassion, and who heals the brokenhearted and lifts up the downcast. We come to you, O Lord, for you are the living God, the great I Am, eternal, without beginning or end. And indeed, O Lord, all the fullness of life is in you. And you made us, not we ourselves. You made us for your own glory, and so that we might have the joy and the privilege of knowing you. And we thank you, our Father, for your tender pity and compassion for us. That when you looked upon our world lost in sin and hopelessness, you gave to us the greatest gift, your own beloved Son, Jesus Christ, the one who is God with you forever. And we thank you that he came down into this world, that he was born as one of us, became flesh in all its weakness. And we thank you, O Lord, that your Son knows what it is to weep. He knows what it is to suffer grief and to face the miseries of this world. And that he did this for us, to reveal you to us and to bring your saving love to us. For we thank you that he has reconciled us to you, that in that most wondrous and unique death of the cross, he took our sins away. And then his glorious triumph, that he rose again from the dead and has ascended to the very right hand of God in heaven, where he lives and he reigns. And Lord, we thank you that he is our comfort. He is our hope, our salvation. He gives us hope, even at the side of the grave, because he has come to give us this gift of eternal life. Lord, how wondrous is your love. And so now, our Father, as we worship you, we pray for the presence of your Holy Spirit. May he be poured out upon us. We come to you, Father, with our deep grief and loss, and pray that your Spirit would come to our hearts, that he would open our eyes to see Jesus and the hope that is in him. And that every heart here today would know and feel the hope that there is in Christ, the good news. We pray, Father, especially for Michelle and for Norman, Rena, Ian and Kathleen, and all the family. Lord, there are no words that we can express, but you know our hearts. And we ask you, Lord, with tenderness and gentleness, that you would bind up their wounds, that you might share with them the healing balm of your grace, and that you would please come alongside them, draw near to them and overshadow them with your comforting presence. Please give them strength for the days ahead. And indeed, Lord, a peace that surpasses all understanding. Please comfort them mightily, we pray. And our Father, for all of us here today, we thank you for Murdo Alec. What a gift he has been to each of us. And we pray, Lord, that we would all leave here today transformed and inspired by his life and what you did through it. And so, gracious and almighty God, hear our need and our prayer. Speak to us and bless us. Shine your face upon us, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. And we say together the words our Lord taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. A reading from the Holy Scriptures, from the Gospel according to John and chapter 11. Let us hear God's word. Now, a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, Let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. These things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, she's going to the tomb to weep there. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." Thanks be to God for his word. We will stand and sing together again from Psalm 40. "I waited for the Lord my God and patiently did bear." Please stand.
I waited for the
Let us pray. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you that you are a very present help in trouble. Please bless us now through hearing your holy word. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our lips, of all our hearts, be acceptable in your sight. Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, Amen. Friends and family and brothers and sisters of the church. In John chapter 6, the Bible records there was a moment in the life of the Lord Jesus when many people began to turn back from following him. What he'd asked of them was too difficult. It was too challenging. And the crowds just melted away. But the apostles and a few others stayed with Christ. And in that difficult moment, Peter says to the Lord, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." As we grieve today, where else do we turn? To whom else can we come but to our Lord Jesus Christ? He has the words of eternal life, the truth to comfort and to guide us. And in particular, I want us to consider together the words of the Lord in the passage we heard a few moments ago in John chapter 11. The Lord Jesus had come to Bethany, small town outside of Jerusalem, because a disciple, Lazarus, had died. He was a young man, and he had two sisters, Mary and Martha. This is a devastating loss. This is a young man, taken in his prime, and how his sisters must have depended on him. But did you hear it says too, Jesus loved Lazarus. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus loved Lazarus. He's even referred to as the one Jesus loved. He was a friend and a brother. So much so that we're told in that famous verse, Jesus wept. And it is my hope and it's my prayer that as we listen to this passage together, that you will be comforted. You have lost one whom you love, and someone who loved you, and especially to the family, as Jesus wept with Mary and Martha, we weep with you. Sometimes there are just no words, but we weep with you. And although our Lazarus has been taken away, we hope it will be a tremendous comfort to remember he was truly loved and he truly loved you. But did you hear in the scripture, when the Lord greets Martha, he asks an incredibly difficult thing of her. He asks her to do something that's staggeringly difficult. He asks her to trust him. To trust him. He said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" What an incredibly hard thing Jesus asked them to do. In the depths of their grief, There's an empty place at the table. There's a stone rolled across the grave. And he asks them to trust him. To trust that he has everything under control. To trust in who he is, the resurrection and the life. And even to trust in what he promises, eternal life. Now, on a human level, what an extraordinary thing to say to somebody at what was effectively a funeral on a day like today. And the Lord Jesus, though he asks this hard thing of them, because actually it is the way to find true comfort and real hope. And what I want to share with you today is that this is the hard thing that the Savior is asking of you, of us. At this moment, he asks us to trust him. To trust that he has a purpose. It's such a hard thing to do, but to trust in who he is and what he promises, eternal life. And it is a hard thing, he says to us, but it is the way to true hope and peace. I've been thinking all week about how Murdo Alec had this gift. He was good at asking hard things of people, wasn't he? There is so much to say about his character and his qualities. He truly was the best of us. The best of us. He's a role model. What it means to be a man. Strong, courageous, determined and loyal. A faithful, a loving husband. So proud of, so devoted to Michelle. And a loving son and brother. So thankful for his family. So thankful. And we know him, incredibly talented. Hardworking as a chef. An artist. An athlete. A great friend. A great friend. And his life is amazing. So many gifts and virtues. You know, sometimes at funerals, people can exaggerate. And they can stretch the truth to make someone sound a bit better than they really were. There is no danger of that today. The danger is that we are going to fall short of giving him the honour that he deserves. But to me, something that I always admired so much is he was so good at asking hard things of people. Now, what I mean by that is he talked straight. He was never afraid to say difficult things to correct someone. He had a gift for challenging people to bring the best out of them, to confront them when they were messing up, to challenge them to a better, a higher way. Whether that was young men in the kitchen that he would challenge and train to get their lives in order, especially in the church, when he would lovingly challenge people about their relationship with God. He had an ability to ask hard things of people for their own good. It was always done in sincere love and gently. Always with a sincere desire to do you good. Never harshly. You never felt beaten up. Never rude. But there was a direct boldness to challenge anyone with the truth. Never afraid to say unpopular things, the things that we all feel a little bit nervous about sharing when someone needs to hear some home truths. He was courageous like that. And he was the same to everyone, rich or poor, high or low. And again, isn't it amazing in his life that Murdo Alec walked in all circles, but always straight, honest, forthright. He was steady. Steady. Firm. His moral compass was sure. You could rely on him like the North Star to guide you. We know how difficult it is to be like that, don't we? A lot of us might know his public side. You know, he's had this incredible ministry of encouraging thousands of people through A Christian with Cancer. And he preached. He raised money for charity. He was brilliant at so many things. But a lot of people might not know is how much he did to help people in quiet conversations, behind the scenes and unnoticed. I used to love watching after a service how he'd intentionally seek out people and speak to them in a way that could be life-changing, often by asking them hard things. And I've just admired this quality in my brother so much. Because it's so rare today. And I think the old-fashioned word for it is integrity. He was a man of absolute integrity. Trustworthy, reliable, faithful. He was rock solid, like he was carved there to the side of Cliff Beach on the Isle of Lewis. Now he himself, you know, said that it was not always this way. But there was a period in his younger life when he was lost. Lost in himself. And fell into destructive and sinful things that could have destroyed him. But if you know Murdo Ali, you know what he would want me to say to you this morning. He always pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ as his Saviour. As the one who gave him real peace and integrity. That it was the grace of the Lord Jesus that made him whole. It was Jesus who made him the man he was. As we've just sung one of his favourites, Psalm 40. He took me from the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock. He would say that was him, that was his story. But with Murdo Ali, it's not just that he was stood on the rock of Christ. He himself became a Christ-like rock. A rock that so many of us knew we could depend on. So rock solid, even through his illness and suffering. He never publicly grumbled or complained. And he hid how ill he really was. Carrying such a burden, but despite it, such a source of strength to everyone around him. More focused on speaking a word to encourage somebody else than his own need. Rock solid in his faith and determination. A man of integrity. I don't think there's any higher praise we could give in our times than to say this. This is how he stands out. But let me also put things the other way around. The Lord asked a hard thing of him. The Lord asked a hard thing of him. And he rose to the challenge. These last 3 years, he was asked by God to carry a heavy cross, this cancer, and through it a ministry to others. Now that is how he himself understood what had befallen him. That God had asked this hard thing of him, to endure this cancer. That God had a purpose. That was the hard thing Jesus asked the disciples in John 11. The Lord told them that he had a plan. He had a purpose for Lazarus' death. And he asked them to trust that he was in control. He said to them, the sickness was for the glory of God. And so the Son of God would be glorified through it. Now he meant that by Lazarus' death, God's goodness and grace would be revealed. Jesus would be revealed as the Saviour of the world. And that this death would be used, it would be recorded. So that billions of people down through the centuries would hear the good news and would have hope and would have faith, even in the face of death. When Murdo Ali first came to Bury St. Edmunds 10 years ago, well, the first thing I learned is that I had no idea how to pronounce his name, being typically English. But he was often troubled, exercised, about what God was calling him to do with his life. Should he become a minister? Should he become a Sazra reader? He entered studies at the Free College. But what he came to understand and believe is that his suffering was his ministry. That was the task God called him to suffer for Christ. His mission was to be a faithful Christian witness, even as he suffered and died. That was the hard thing asked of him. It was to point to God, and even on the worst days, to trust God. And his life and his faith are an inspiration to countless others. How many thousands have found hope, comfort, even faith through his witness? Do you know, a fellow minister up in Scotland told me that when he was talking to Murdo Ali about this, he said when he saw how many thousands of people were watching him on the internet, he said, You've been given one of the largest congregations since Pentecost. And I'm sure that for years to come, we're going to encounter people whose lives have been changed, helped because of him. He was a rock to the end. And all of us who know him are better for him. I know that this might sound a very strange way of thinking about death, but it is the Christian way. At the heart of the Christian faith is a cross, a place of suffering and death. But it's there that the Son of God saved us and forgave our sins. And God revealed himself not through power, but through weakness, through Christ's faithfulness unto death. That reveals God's love to us like nothing else. And in his calling, Murdo Alec was truly Christ-like. And he used his cross to point to God, and he faithfully trusted himself, even that there was a purpose. It's a hard thing, the Lord asked of Lazarus. But the Lord asked him and his family to trust him. Murdo Alec did. He trusted. And his courage is an example to inspire all of us, even to trust God in the same way. But then the Savior also said to Martha, and here is the comfort, the real comfort I hope you will be able to hold on to today. He also challenges Martha to say, will she trust his promise that he can give eternal life? And the Lord said that even if someone died, he would give them life again, a life that would never die, eternal life in the presence of God. Do you believe this? He asked her. That's the challenge that comes to us. It's the heart of the good news of the gospel that death is not the end. Our Lord Jesus is the living God. He's the great I am. He gives eternal life to those who trust him. And Christ is asking us to do this hard thing, to trust that this is true, to believe it. And if you know Murdo Alec, you know this is the hope in which he lived and died. When he moved up to Lewis for the final time a few weeks ago, Gordon went with him one morning to visit the gravesite where he's now buried. And it's a truly beautiful spot, looking out over the ocean and by the cliffside. And at one point he said to Gordon, it'll be a good view to wake up to on resurrection morning. Now there's much that's mysterious about our resurrection to come, but it will be a real rising to life. But doesn't that comment show the faith, the brightness, the comfort that he had? The final psalm that we're going to sing in a few minutes, Psalm 16, is about this great hope. It says that at God's right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. In his presence, a fullness of joy. And in these last few months, we've all witnessed the peace Murdo Alec had, his longing to depart and be with Christ. I want you to be comforted. This is true. This is where he is. This is where he is. For he's alive forevermore. And as deeply as we miss him, we can be glad for him. On one of my last visits to Murdo Alec, he wasn't well and we had only a few moments, but we spent time just looking together in the Bible at all its descriptions of heaven and the joy of it. And it might sound strange, but he and I, we felt like we were on cloud nine. We felt like we were lifted up by the very real presence of God and a sense of joy. That's where he is. And that is our great comfort. And the Saviour says, it's hard, but trust him. Do you believe this? Ian, his dear brother, shared with me a conversation that he had with Murdo Alec right before the end. Ian asked him, if you were suddenly, miraculously healed, how would you feel about that? And Murdo Alec replied, cheated. He'd feel cheated of the joy of heaven. It's that good. It's that real. For us left behind and mourning, it's a hard thing to believe and to trust. It's a hard thing the Saviour asked Mary and Martha. And so then he does this wonder, this amazing miracle that he performed. These things happen. He raised Lazarus from the dead. Right there and then in front of them. Not that we expect miracles like that to happen today the same way, but it was a sign. So that down through the centuries, it would give us hope to show us Jesus does have that power. He is our Lord and God and Saviour, and what he did for Lazarus, he can do for us. He can give us eternal life. It is a hard thing the Lord asks of us. Because our grief is so great. And we weep together as Jesus wept. But he tells us that this is real hope and real peace and real comfort. He says, trust me. Trust me. May we all be given grace to trust in God's purpose, to see God's love shining through Murdo Alec's life. Be inspired by his courage, his faith, and his integrity, and follow in his footsteps. And our comfort and our hope is in trusting in Christ. He is the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in him shall not die, but shall live. May you have hope and peace by believing in him. Amen. Our closing psalm of praise is a psalm about that future hope, that bright day that we await. From Psalm 16, we will sing, "Before me constantly, I set the Lord alone." Please stand.
Before me constantly.
See you.
Please stay and join us for some light refreshments in the room at the back and share together the good and the happy memories of Murdo Alec and how he's inspired us. And if you would like to make an offering in his memory, there is an offering box at the back in the middle. And offerings will go to Bethesda Hospice, where Murdo Alec spent his final days. But now please receive the blessing of God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.